Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome to the next installment of our World Religions podcast here on Burden and Blessing. Today we take a look at a religion that talks about a God being the creator of heaven and earth, being the source of light and darkness, a deity who is the sovereign lawgiver, who is the center of nature, who defines moral order and justice in the world. No, we're not looking at the religion of Christianity today. We're looking at Zoroastrianism. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel, and joining me to discuss this and study it is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. Nathaniel, get us started off. Many of our listeners may not be familiar with Zoroastrianism. Give us a little bit of a background on it, how it began, and what geographical location of the world it's primarily in.
Okay, Zoroastrianism has a lot of parallels to some of the other religions that we have studied in the past. Not only some of the non-Christian religions, but also we're going to see a lot of parallels to Christianity itself. So Zoroastrianism gets its beginning from a fellow who was named as Zoroaster, or some people might be more familiar with his other name, Zarathustra. I don't know, Mark, if you remember, but when I was a kid, I remember loving the classical music piece, Also Spoke Zarathustra. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. It was a very, very familiar piece, but it was based on this individual who developed or created this particular religion. And he lived in the area of what would be today Iran. Back then, it would have been the region of Persia, Media, or Persia in the Middle East. And they don't know exactly when he lived, but it would have been roughly in about the 6th century B.C., So if we want to kind of put this into perspective just a little bit, the religion of Zoroastrianism, Zoroaster himself would have lived, just comparing it to biblical history, about the time of the Babylonian exile of the Old Testament, the children of Israel. So you're talking about Ezekiel, Daniel, some of those individuals that would have been there. And they would have been, remember, in the Babylonian captivity, Babylon, which was conquered by the Medes and the Persians. I mean, these countries, these nations were interrelated, or they were going to be very much involved with one another. And so the children of Israel going into Babylon, into exile, this is all taking place at about the time that Zoroastrianism is beginning. So he's our main character, Zoroaster, and he is going to develop this religion based on a lot of the gods of that area. Keep in mind that just like Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, these nations around us, that they were polytheistic religions. So by polytheism, we mean that they had a belief in many gods. There wasn't just one god, they had a belief in many gods. And one of the things that Zoroaster does is he sort of tries to take that religion, that world that he lived in, and he pulls one of the gods out of that polytheistic religion and really tries to make him the one and only, or the chief god of all the rest. And that god is Ahura Mazda. He's the one that he chooses in order to really elevate and emphasize and making it a Zoroastrianism, at least at his time, a monotheistic religion. So Ahura Mazda was the main god that he then develops. And we're going to see a lot of tenets of polytheism in Zoroastrianism. There are tenets of Christianity in Zoroastrianism. And it's going to change a lot over the history of Zoroastrianism too. So it does have an interesting history. Since it was in Iran, when Islam becomes popular under Muhammad in the 6th century, Zoroastrianism is really suppressed. And for a while, you know, they do allow the Zoroastrians to practice their religion. But then in the 9th and 8th century AD, after the time of Muhammad, then you have an oppression of the Zoroastrians, and a lot of the Zoroastrians left Iran to go to India. So there is an Indian version of Zoroastrianism, too, that you hear that's pretty prevalent. So that's kind of a little bit of the background, the historical background of Zoroastrianism.
A couple things stand out there as kind of interesting. Even if some of our listeners may not be familiar with Zoroastrianism, there are some parallels to it and with it in Christianity. Like you said, it developed at the same time that the Jewish influence would have been in the region of Babylon. And we're going to see some of those connections when we get into their core teachings. Another thing that we see is that by the time the Muslim conquest reaches that region, it's been around. Zoroastrianism has been around for over 1,000 years. So it's a well-established religion. But with that connection to Islam, it kind of, in my understanding, it kind of developed the same way, where Zoroaster took this kind of fractured religious society where it had all these different types of beliefs based on this tribalism and kind of united it under this one god, Ahura Mazda.
There are quite a few connections or parallels to Christianity. For example, let me just give you a short list. And as you read it, as you mentioned in your introduction, Mark, there are a lot of things as you read through these things, you say, well, that sounds like Christianity. Well, listen to some of the teachings that you have in Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster's teachings, remember, they centered on this god called Ahura Mazda. He says that he alone is worthy of worship, monotheism. Mm-hmm. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Sounds like Christianity. He is the source of light and darkness. He is the sovereign lawgiver. He is the very center of nature. He is the originator of moral order and the judge of the entire world. You take a look at that list and you say, wow, that sounds like Jehovah. That sounds like the God of the Bible.
Yeah. And those are concepts we're familiar with because we are familiar with the God of the Bible. But at this time, those would have been radical concepts in that culture, correct?
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that a lot of times you take a look at this. Now, in some of the literature that you find on Zoroastrianism, a lot of times you find that the commentators on Zoroastrianism are saying that Zoroastrianism laid a foundation for Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Now, Islam doesn't come about until the 6th century AD. So we're talking about 12 centuries later. Sure, that makes sense that it lays a foundation for Islam. The problem is that Judaism had been long developed and around. And remember, as I mentioned earlier on, the Jews had come into the area where Zoroaster was. He was going to be exposed to Judaism. Judaism was going to be what influenced Zoroastrianism, not the other way around.
Think about some of the things that, like you mentioned, we have Babylonian kings, Persian kings in the Bible. What are some of those encounters like between God's people and those kings? Don't the kings often remark, now I know that your God, your one God, is the true God? This monotheistic idea, again, would have been new to these people. Doesn't it provide, like you're saying, a rational reason for the development of Zoroaster's teachings, of him coming into contact with monotheism in the form of Judaism? And doesn't that make better sense as you're kind of indicating?
Absolutely. Just historically, Judaism preceded Zoroastrianism. And as you take a look at where we are historically in the Old Testament, it would make sense that Daniel and Ezekiel, who went into captivity, they did bring that religion with them. As you mentioned, Daniel had all kinds of opportunities to witness to Nebuchadnezzar, later on to Darius, the king of the Medes and the Persians. Mm-hmm. And he did speak about the one true God and what God had done. It would make perfect sense that the Lord would use those individuals like Daniel and Ezekiel and the other Jews that were in captivity to then influence the culture in which they lived, among whom would have been Zoroaster. And that he would then have, that he recognized some of the benefits of that as opposed to polytheism. He doesn't use Jehovah. He uses Ahura Mazda as his monotheistic God. But many of those tenets of Christianity come along with it, and that he uses that to build then this new religion, Zoroastrianism.
Yeah, because these ideas would not have just developed out of nowhere. there had to have been a cause, because they are vastly different than what the traditional religions were in those regions. So having said those things, get us into, let's get down to kind of some of the core teachings of Zoroastrianism. I want to kind of divide this into two parts. First of all, what are some of the teachings that kind of give it its unique identity among the world religions? And then second of all, what are basically, how do you get to what it was? What is the version of heaven for Zoroastrianism, or what is the goal, if you will, the end goal of this religion? If you could break that down into those two parts.
Well, there are a couple of unique features of Zoroastrianism. Some of them are bigger things. Some of them are not as important. But you have this Uhura Mazda, who's the main god of Zoroastrianism. He's the creator of all things. And one of the things that develops out of Zoroastrianism is that he creates this evil spirit, Ahriman. And so what comes out of Zoroastrianism is this idea of what we call dualism. And we've talked about this in some of the other Eastern religions as well, that dualism has to have a good and an evil, and the good has to have an evil in order to survive. So it's like yin and yang was one of the things that we had talked about. So Uhura Mazda has to have Ahriman in order to counteract his goodness, so to speak. So he creates Ahriman as this evil being in order to balance the nature out. In Zoroastrianism, you have the six good spirits and then you have the six evil spirits. Uhura Mazda creates a good physical world. Ahriman creates a bad physical world. And then there's this battle, you know, the cosmic battle, so to speak, between good and evil, the good world and the evil world. So dualism is very much a part of, especially today, it seems like this has developed maybe since the time of Zoroaster to an even greater degree, and maybe partially influenced by Hinduism, Buddhism, some of those other religions that we have talked about. Now, Mark, some people would say, well, Christianity is dualistic.
Yeah, I was going to say, take that there now, because we have, you know, good and evil in the Bible, darkness and light, God and Satan, if you will, heaven and hell, justice and, you know, sin, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people see Christianity as dualistic as well. Is it? And if not, what makes it different?
So no, Christianity is not dualistic. What makes something dualistic is that good and evil are equal parts. You need to have one in order to balance out the other. And it almost implies that goodness is by itself is bad.
It almost implies that the bad stuff is good, because
right.
you kind of need it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so here's maybe one of the key differences between Christianity and Zoroastrianism and dualism in general, is that Uhura Mazda creates Ahriman, that evil spirit, in order to balance him out, recognizing that he needs that balance. Whereas in Christianity, now we can get into the good and the evil. Did God create the devil? So the devil was probably the main figure of evil in the Bible. Did God create the devil? Yes, he did. Here's the difference, though. When God created the devil, he did not create him evil. He created him good. He was one of the good angels that God created, but in his desire to be God, the devil falls away and becomes evil. So there's a difference, number one, in the fact that God is not the source of evil in the Bible. Whereas in these other religions, he is the source of evil. He creates evil to have that balance. The other thing is, in Christianity, the devil and God are not equals. And that is a very important distinction also. You think about all the passages in Scripture where the Bible is limited. You know, Revelation speaks about the devil as being chained. He's limited in his power. He doesn't see the devil as an equal that he needs in order to maintain a balance in the cosmic relationship of everything that's going on. God promises to bring ultimate judgment. And that's where you get into the whole concept of heaven and hell. Jesus tells us that God created or prepared hell for the devil and his evil angels. Now, as a result of people who follow the devil into evil or rebellion against God, hell is used as the judgment for unbelieving people as well.
You know, we just had a couple podcasts on the creation account in Genesis and how important that is for our faith today. I see an example of that when you talk about what God created, because in the biblical creation account, everything we're told about the creation all centers on what was good. We're never told that God created anything that wasn't good or anything that was evil. Everything was good, like you said, and then it got corrupted later on outside of what God had planned. But then also, like you said, the Bible kind of goes out of its way to tell us that Satan does not have equal power with God. You know, Jesus came to earth, and what did he do? He rebuked the demons. He called them out of people. They submitted to him. The Bible is going out of its way time and time again to reassure us that God is more powerful than the devil. And so Christianity doesn't fit that dualistic mindset. Dualism is a lot more than just having two things that counteract each other, like darkness and light. The Bible has those themes, but there's a lot more to it than just that. So hopefully that can help shed some light on that concept and why it doesn't really fit Christianity. Help us see, according to Zoroastrianism, what's the goal of the faith?
Well, the key of Zoroastrianism, like so many of the other religions of the world, is ultimately to earn the favor of the gods and to inherit eternal life. And that is, I think that's probably one of the key things that we want to recognize in connection with Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism is empty in the sense that it is a work righteous religion. You have to do something in order to earn the favor of God. And, you know, you take that and you compare that to Christianity. And Christianity says, we can't earn anything, Mark. There's nothing that we can do. Isaiah says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What are we going to be capable of earning if that's what we are? The main difference between Zoroastrianism and Christianity is not what man is able to do in order to achieve their own salvation, but what God has done in order to save mankind. And that is missing in Zoroastrianism. Ahura Mazda doesn't create something in order to save mankind or create anything like that. In Christianity, God sends his son to die to take the place of sinful human beings, to pay the debt that they owed, that they might be redeemed and so that they might then have eternal life, which God desires for them. It's completely different in those two religions. Of all of the things that are similar, I mean, there are some really good similarities, interesting similarities between Zoroastrianism and Christianity, but those are kind of the superfluous things, creation, some of the basics. Whereas when it really gets to the heart of the differences between the religion, it's missing in Zoroastrianism. There is no savior God. There is no redemption. It's all based on what we have to do for God. And when you boil it down to that, it's really an empty religion, because as we look at ourselves, honestly, we recognize there's nothing in us that can earn the favor of not just the true God, but any God.
So you see that we started with similarities and some pretty striking ones. But even among that, you can see how vastly different these two religions end up, Christianity versus Zoroastrianism. It's a good reminder to us that, you know, we shouldn't be shocked when we see other religions share some of the same characteristics. We don't have time to get into it, but Zoroastrianism even has its own creation account of how their God created the world. And there are some similarities there too with the biblical creation account. But we need to remember what really makes our religions different. It's not just associating some facts here and there about the nature of God in broad terms. Like you said, getting down to specifics, how am I saved? What is coming down the line in my life? What did God do for me, if anything? Or what am I required to do before God? We see it being extremely different in that sense. And that's a reminder to all of us, especially our listeners, be careful about any type of religion that it may be, just because it may seem, oh, hey, this has some similarities to my faith. Oh, maybe I can find some common ground here. Very often when you dig deeper into the actual meaning of the religion and where it's going, you see where it gets vastly different. And Zoroastrianism to me is a good reminder of that, that very often even the similar religions with Christianity are in the end very, very different. And Zoroastrianism kind of has its own history of mixing with Christianity. Right. You know, in the 200, 300s AD, there was a movement called Manichaeism. You know, we could probably do a separate podcast just on that. But it was kind of a mixture of the Christian teachings and Zoroastrian teachings. A prophet named Mani came up and thought that he was the rightful successor of Zoroaster and Jesus. And it created a lot of problems. And thankfully, the early Christians stood up and defended the true faith against that false teaching. But it's a common thing that can easily happen. So here's the last question that I really want to lead us to. And that is, why is this important for us? You know, if this is a religion from Iran, if it's a religion that largely is kind of falling to the wayside, if you will, because of the influence of Islam, people today in America, Christians, Lutherans, they may not have a lot of contact, if any, with anybody who believes in Zoroastrianism. Why should this be important to us?
I think for a couple of different reasons. Number one, because just because Zoroastrianism is sort of dying out, there's really only a couple of little pockets in India that continue to maintain, well, maybe a little bit in Iran also, that maintain the teachings of Zoroaster, but it's a very small percentage of the population. Just like Taoism, you know, we mentioned with that podcast, you're probably never going to run into a Taoist. You're probably never going to run into a Zoroastrian. But the tenets of Zoroastrianism, what it is based on, those concepts are all around us in the world today. There are all kinds of people that have this idea of dualism that we've been talking about, the need for good to have evil and evil to have good, that God really isn't good. He needs evil in order to counteract himself or to balance himself out. And so when you look at some of those things, you know, we could have talked about some of the specific details of Zoroastrianism. You know, we could have talked about the Towers of Silence, which is where they put their dead bodies and the bodies are picked, you know, from with the ravens. We could have talked about the hallucinogenic drugs that they use in one of the rites that they have. Those are things that people are not going to run into most likely. But you can guarantee that they are going to run into people and maybe even be exposed to dualism in this life. And understanding the difference between dualism taught by Zoroastrianism and all of the other Eastern religions and true Christianity. And there is this idea that Christianity is dualistic. It's not. We need to understand the difference between those things in order to bear witness to the truth. And sometimes, Mark, we need to understand those smaller, more specific differences to be able to witness to a person who's confused about why those things are not the same. I had a friend one time who said he liked to use the illustration of aspirin. You know, if you have a headache, you take a little white tablet. We call it aspirin, and it takes your headache away. He says, well, you know, if you take – there are two white tablets, aspirin and arsenic. They look the same, identical. You know, just look at the similarities between the two tablets sitting there. And you might say, well, I'll just take either one of the tablets. Either one doesn't make any difference. Well, one's going to help you with your headache. The other one's going to make things a whole lot worse. It's not the similarities that are important. It's the differences that are critical. And so we can lay down 100 different similarities between Zoroastrianism and Christianity, but it's the differences that are critical. Those are the things that we want to highlight because those are the things that are truly important. So salvation by grace through faith, not by our good works. The fact that God is not dualistic, that he does not need evil, that he is greater than the devil. Those are the things that really key features that are differences between Zoroastrianism and Christianity that we want to emphasize and be able to witness to the people around us.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, like we introduced at the beginning, Ahura Mazda is supposedly the sovereign lawgiver, the moral judge. What kind of moral judge would purposely introduce evil right into the world? How moral is that? Right. What kind of lawgiver does that? But the Bible actually gives us, you know, again, some people have that false idea about God, but the Bible gives us a reason of where evil came from outside of God. But it also tells us how God warned about that. God did not want that. God does not delight in it. God does not want to have to punish because of sin. But most importantly, like you mentioned, how he gave us a solution to that. And, you know, again, like you mentioned, the only one that would work, our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There is none who does good. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And yet, despite all of that, which God warned ahead of time of, God has given us a solution in his son, Jesus. And what a beautiful reminder here around Christmas time. That's why Jesus was born. That, and what a unique aspect of Christianity. No other religion has that. No. Uhura Mazda has nothing on what God has done with his son by sending him to be born as one of us. Beautiful reminder of why we celebrate Christmas. So we hope our listeners got a little bit better look at the religion of Zoroastrianism, and especially, like we said, the concept of dualism. I hope this podcast was helpful. Thank you, Pastor Mayhew, for hopping on again today and joining us for this study. Continue to find our podcasts on burdenblessing.org and consider subscribing as well. And also continue listening for the rest of our World Religions series. Merry Christmas to everyone who's listening to this. Rejoice in the birth of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank you again for listening. We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.